tell us. You're going to give us a tour of Digital Group.
Okay. Brian Blackburn, something of a Digital Group aficionado.
A Digital Group groupie?
A Digital Group groupie. That's right.
Now, how did you get interested in particularly in Digital Group?
Well, it was my first computer. I first saw the Mark 8 mini computer when I was in high school, and by the time I'd saved up enough money to buy a computer, the Digital Group computers came out. And I looked them over, and I thought that they were the ones for me, because I didn't want to have to flip switches on the front of a computer to get a bootloader to load in paper tape or anything else like that. And the Digital Group came with a ROM that did all of the booting from a cassette. And at the time, just about the fastest cassette you could get was somewhere around 300 baud. And the Digital Groups loaded at 1100 baud right out of the box. And so that was a pretty fast cassette interface. And I just thought that was the neatest thing in the world.
And the cassettes over here, what was it called?
This is the Feynman system. And the Feynman system was kind of an unreliable in its implementation, but the idea was just great. It was, this is an audio cassette right there, but the Feynman system used a non-return to zero type encoding format, and it was supposed to record at 6400 bits per inch on a tape, which, if I'm not mistaken, worked out to something like I forget what the data rate actually was. Is that something like 2K or 3K? No. I can't remember. But it was pretty fast, and it would it had a file system just like a disk drive does. And so it operated a lot like a disk drive operates. You would type in the name of the file you wanted, mm-hmm. and it would look it up in the index at the beginning of the tape,
mm-hmm.
and then would search out the file that you were interested in and load it into memory.
It was like a hierarchical file structure on a cassette?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it was kind of a clumsy system. It was a great design overall, but they just implemented it a little bit quirky, and so it caused a lot of problems. A lot of people came out with fixes for it, but they were so random and they were so different with every user that it was difficult for you to take a cassette from one system, drop it in another, and have it work.
Mm-hmm.
And so because there was that lack of being able to move from one system to another, it kind of died when floppy disks came out and began to fall in price. This system was not very expensive as compared to a floppy disk system, but with all the trouble that it gave.
Right.
By the time the floppy disks approached the price of this, this began to lose popularity.
So what year was the Digital Group introduced?
Digital Group, they began in 1974. This computer that you've got right here was introduced in 1975. It was not a spin-off of the Altair systems. They were on their way to designing their own computer when the Altair came out.
Mm.
And that's evidenced by the fact that their bus system didn't change from some of the equipment I have in 1974 to the 1975 release of the system. The video card is almost identical.
So this is pre-Altair, really.
Yeah, it is. Although it came out after the Altair, the design was already in the works when the Altair came out. So mm-hmm. it was just by a matter of months they missed being one of the first major.
Oh, gosh.
And,
one of the guys commented the other day, and that sort of is the design of the case and everything. It's almost like a deck type of design.
Not familiar enough with the deck systems to make a good comparison, but
with the nice rounded corners, the coloration of
yeah.
the system's very, very different than the sort of blue and steel box of the Altair and its successors.
This is the FIDET controller here, and this looks like a, if I'm not mistaken, this is the latest version.
So they're based in Denver, Colorado?
Mm-hmm. No, this is the second version. This is a B. They had a C version of this deck.
Well, interesting. I'm looking down here at the card. It's a digital at the motherboard. It says 1975. So, mm-hmm. So do you think this is one of the earlier systems?
Well, I don't think they changed their copyright notice on any of the systems that they made. I bought mine in 1976, and it came with the 1975 copyright. So,
yeah.
When they did change their motherboard design and added some bypass capacitors and some overvoltage protection on the motherboard itself, then the copyright date was upgraded.
Now, how big was their market and how many users? And
they sold about 4,000 systems total from start to finish, like this one.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a newsletter that was sponsored by the digital group called Judge, and they had a news group called Bridge that was just a user-inspired news group. And then they also had the digital group Rube,
mm-hmm.
which I believe came out of Illinois or somewhere near there, and they didn't have a huge following, but they copied each other's material and included it in each other's newsletters. So,
who were some of the people involved? Do you remember the head of the founder of the company?
The founder of the company was Dr. Robert Suiting, and he was pretty much behind everything. I'm not sure. Offhand, I don't remember the names of any of the other people that were involved, but I think I only knew two of them to begin with, so it's not much saying that I don't remember them. But basically, it was the good doctor's operation. He designed all of the cards and created all of their equipment and software to go with it and let somebody else run the company. They were fairly good designs, although they did have bugs and quirks in them. I don't know how good of an engineer he was, but he was willing to dive in and do the things that were needed to make the boards work. So that's much better engineering than most of the companies that were out there at the time.
So today, are these systems relatively rare?
They're fairly rare. I think the Altair system sold more than the Digital Group did in its first month. I think the Digital Group sold roughly the same number of Altairs throughout its life as they did
units.
In their first month.
Oh, right. Same number of units. I guess just getting that cover story of being associated with the popular mechanics. Popular electronics
for the Altair, yeah. That made a lot of headway for them and sold a lot of machines for them. And the Digital Group never made that level of introduction. When they introduced them themselves, they really didn't run any advertising until, as far as I know, in late 75. They didn't have any advertising at all. They were all by word of mouth through the newsletters, and if you read the early Micro 8 newsletters, you'll see a lot of information from the Digital Group in there, but it comes in the form of a letter to the editor, as opposed to advertising.
Right.
And the first flyer that I have from the Digital Group is labeled 5, and that flyer does not seem to have had any predecessors, so I'm not sure that they ever had a flyer prior to 5 or maybe 6, I can't remember.
So did they mainly market this through shows? Did they have dealers?
They mainly marketed it through this particular model. They ran advertising for it, but not until late in 75, in a couple of publications like Byte magazine. And at the time, I don't think they advertised a whole lot more than just individual circuit boards. And they didn't really put the whole system together until sometime in 76 and actually run an ad for the whole thing.
Oh, boy.
So they were very slow to get off the ground, even though they had everything. And I suspect that they all had day jobs.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe did this on the side because they always had a post office box rather than an address
right.
on all of their literature.
Interesting. So this is a Z80 based system?
This is a Z80 system, 32K of RAM. It actually has 2K on the motherboard, so if you pull this card, it'll still run if it's properly configured on the motherboard. But it requires RAM to be at page 0 and up to at least, I believe, at least the first 512 bytes. But the ROM occupies page 0. So the problem that a lot of the Z80 users had was they couldn't change anything on page 0. So a lot of users implemented a push button that they could, once the computer was started, they could push a button and turn the internal ROM off. And then they could use programming on page 0, because the RAM would be jumpered at the same space that the ROM was.
So the digital group system you showed yesterday, for which you won Best of Show at the CCF 6.0, was that your original system that you had?
That was not my original system. It was a system that somebody gave to me years after I bought my system and built it. My system, original system, was a 6800, and I never bought a case for that. I did like what most people did, and that was I built my case from some other source, because the digital group cases were expensive and they were rare, and they didn't deliver their cases very quickly, and so a lot of people gave up waiting on a case and went ahead and used some alternate case. In fact, the case that's on this printer is not an original digital group case. It's a somebody's alternate design, but it looks like they've tried really hard to make it look like a digital group case.
Are you sure, even though it's all a rounded front? And
yeah, I'm pretty sure, because if you look at the digital group cases, they all have the same thickness of metal on the front.
Yeah, like on the monitor there. Yeah. Interesting.
And you don't see too many monitor cases. Not very many people actually use a monitor case.
Well, would you like to have this monitor as well as the printer to complete your system?
What do I owe you?
just that it matters to you.
It matters a lot. I've really been looking for one of these. I saw one of these on eBay in 1998, and I bid as much money as I could afford on it. And Eric Smith won it from me. I don't know if you know Eric Smith. He was at the show yesterday.
Yes.
And he bid on the whole system and won it. And I was basically going for the monitor. The monitor and the FIDEC was in it. So I based my bid on that, because I already had everything else that was in the system. But he wanted it worse than I did. Or if he had deeper pockets, I'm not sure which. But,
no, for here, for us just to have the CPU and the FIDEC, I think is probably enough to exhibit the system. And It mean a lot for me for you to know that you have a more complete system.
Wow, I would really love it. What I would do is, if you're interested, I could either send you a monitor like this one, or I could trade you the one that I have. It's basically just a standard.
Yeah, it's fine. As you can see, I run out of shelf space, and in some sense, monitors. I mean, if you look at this Altos here. You know, I can show it with two televideo, because it was a multiprocessor CPM system, but the televideos take up all the space, and they're not all that unique in terms of their interest. And you know, this Sanyo monitor, I think it's the original case around it that will, you know, next time you exhibit the system, there'll be more to it.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I'd love it. I really appreciate it. That would be really something.
Maybe if you could, in return, just write some words for the page that I have on the digital group, because I'm going to put this audio recording up on it, on that page, because you're probably the world's expert at this point.
Well, I think there's probably people out there that know more than I do about them, but I don't know too many other people that have working systems. There is one guy that I know in Colorado.
Look at that. Isn't that something?
Yeah. And, his name is Marty, and he has a working system, but he doesn't have all of the documentation and everything else that I do, and I've been sending him copies of it, and he's been putting the system together.
So are some of these ads Have you seen some of that? You've pretty much seen all of these?
I've seen all of these. There was one shot here I hadn't seen before, but I'm not sure where it is now. I have all of the flyers up to 15, which is what this one is here. But some of the advertising that they had, I may have missed. But then again, I may have it in another magazine or something like that. But they also, later on, after they came out with this, this is what they called their dress cabinet, they came out with what they called their basic box. And that's this unit here, that cabinet, which is just a bent piece of aluminum, brushed silver.
Right.
And this is what most people did anyway. And they figured, well, you know, we need to catch the wave on that. Their cabinets were not really overpriced. They were just slow to deliver, and most people just didn't want to wait. And the fact that they sold the systems without the cabinets, it was your choice. You could buy it with or without a cabinet. Most people opted to get just what they had to get and spent more money on memory than they spent on cabinets. And at the time I bought my first system, that's what I was thinking. I'd rather have more memory than a nice cabinet.
And there's a tape unit with four cassettes in it there on the left.
Yeah. I have one of these, and I have the two system. I have one just like this, and then I have one like that. And I'm not trying to corner the market on all of this stuff. I'm just trying to make it a fairly complete display.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see. I'm certain this display works, but I'm very curious to see if this printer can ever be made to work.
Oh, it can be made to work. It can be made to work. It's just a question of whether or not, or how long, there's more anything else, because what I'll have to do at this stage is I'll have to find the documentation on the printer. I have the printer driver software in my collection, so I actually have some software to drive it. But this was a dangerous printer because
really,
you had to feed it with the right software, and that software had to work. If you fed it with software that improperly told the printer to hit the print button, more or less, at the wrong time. What I'm trying to say is you could advance the paper while the print head was hitting.
Oh.
So if you weren't careful, if your software were done wrong, you could break your printer heads. And you could ruin a fairly expensive printer very quickly. And I guess a lot of people had that problem. Some of the software they delivered had errors in it. And if you did a one function after another or in the wrong sequence, then the printer would lock in the wrong position and hit the print heads while it was advancing the paper, and then you'd have problems. So you have to go through your software and verify that it works before you turn the printer on. They've done a nice job of this. It really comes very close to looking like a digital group.
I'll connect you with Larry Lynch Freshner, who's here in Boulder Creek, because send me an email reminding me, because and then he can tell you the story behind this printer and this sort of custom case that really looks close to, it's probably a one of a kind.
Uh-huh. Well, you can see where they've drawn the lines here to cut it, and then the cover is very close, but I know enough about the digital group systems and how they were assembled. It wouldn't take me much to, and probably what I'll do is I'll have one of these made out of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll just be a see-through case.
Just like the other, just like for the CPU.
It'll look more like an original cabinet than this one does. I also have the logo for the front of this. I have the design. I had a printing company redo the design for me because I'm in the process of restoring another computer, and somebody has drilled a hole through the logo. What I do is I rebuild the aluminum on the front, just like you do with fixing a car, a hole in a car.
Yeah.
And repair that, and then I've been looking for a way to brush the aluminum so that it matches the front, and then I have to repaint it, and then I'll redo the silk screen on the front.
Wow, that's loving care. That
I think I go overboard sometimes, but I've got the I've been building the silkscreen press in my garage, and I've already got the graphic artist.
Wow, to completely replicate that, so you can make logos for all of the units.
Yeah, I thought about.
Jim Curry, who's a big cray collector, hired someone to make the pewter cray for Cray supercomputers to just make exact pewter logo. I think they were $150 each or something.
Well, see, I'm tighter than that, and I hunt people down and I say, how much would you do this for me? And I find lots of people that are willing to help me out.
Mm-hmm.
I spend way too much money putting my computers back together, and I could never get the amount of money out of them again, no matter what I did.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, a lot of people look at it and they say, oh, well, you know, I understand what you're trying to do, and we appreciate that. So I've gotten it down, the full logo set for the digital group, all of their logos, all of the various sizes they made,
mm-hmm.
I have those in silk screen.
Wow.
I'm not finished with them. I still have some left, but they've done them for me for a total of $50.
Wow.
So
that's wonderful. So do you have a website about this system?
I do. It's
when you get home, will you promise to send me a link to that?
Okay, I will.
So then I can link from my digital group page to your page.
Okay.
That's important, because your page is always going to be the great repository of information. Maybe when you get the whole thing assembled with the new monitor and printer, take a picture of it, and I'll put that on our page too and say,
okay,
here's where it ended up and made a more complete system.
I'll do it. I needed to see how they did this. What I was actually planning to do was have a case like this made for me.
Oh, my.
Because I haven't been able to find one.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just looking at it, and the budget on that's going to get pretty thin to try to go about and make a case.
Oh, my. Yeah.
But I'll definitely do it for this one, because I need to have the case, and these things are rare as hen's teeth, so it's just next to impossible to find one.
No, and Larry should be able to tell us the story behind, because he was the original owner and behind the fabrication of this case, which is going to be interesting in its own right.
Well,
with the handles and everything on there.
It's really interesting how he's done this. The only thing that I won't know is the exact size of the case, unless he's made it. Unless he's made it the correct size, but so I was looking at in your flyer over here to see if I had a good view.
Heck, if you had more time, I'd try to contact Larry and here in town.
So but far behind.
You're behind time. We probably ought to get this packed up so you can. You got a long drive ahead of you to get back to Arizona.
Yeah,
where in Arizona do you guys?
Mesa. About from here, it's probably about a 12-hour drive.
Yeah.
My wife has to work tomorrow, so.
Yeah, we better get you guys on the road here.
Most of the way. Yeah, see, I've got some views like this, so I should be able to get a fair comparison. And I may not make it the exact same size, but it looks like the original printed case is just slightly larger than what he's made it. See that?
It looks like he made an extra base plate and everything. Yeah,
looks
it's
like
very
we're missing
interesting.
About an inch to an inch and a half off the side. And one thing that I will do, just to give you an idea of the kind of thing that I'll do to restore this, is
mm-hmm.
I will take all of the ads that I have, and I'll put them in my computer, and I'll do a comparison, and we'll get an average size. You know, I'll compare. I know how wide my system is. I'll look at it in the flyers, and then I'll compare that to the size of the printer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that so on every picture that I've got, and I'll come up with an idea of how large the printer case actually was. And I'll get it as close
mm-hmm.
as I can. And then I will take one of my cases like this, and I'll have someone mill me an aluminum piece like this for each side,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll rebuild the cabinet to match this.
Right.
So I'll have an aluminum bottom piece, and then I'll do a plastic cover for it. The plastic cover is actually easier than the aluminum.
You'll probably keep that original case there as an artifact on its own.
In fact, what I will probably do is I'll probably have the whole thing made out of plastic, and then I'll paint the plastic to look like aluminum on the bottom.
That's interesting.
That might be a less expensive way to go.
Maybe the VCF-7 will see all this.
I probably won't make it to 7. They're doing that one on Halloween, and I have way too many kids to
It's on Halloween.
Send out into the world without someone there to
Goodness
take pictures
gracious,
of.
Yeah.
But maybe 8.
Maybe 8. That'll be a good target.
Really, honestly, this will probably take me close to a year or more to do the work on, possibly 2 years. So it might be ready by the by 8, yeah. But I need to figure out all of the connections. And
according to Larry, it worked. When he powered it down, the whole system was fine. I think he said there was a problem with one of these tape units, which wouldn't surprise you.
Yeah, that sounds very, very typical. I'd be surprised if you could ever make it work again.
What's that software there? That's
Super Games. I don't know what that is.
It looks like there's an assembler somewhere there.
You've got the assembler. Assembler 2. I think I have that one on CD-ROM right now.
Have you met any original founders of the...
I haven't. I emailed Dr. Suiting years ago and tried to strike up a conversation with him, and he just kind of seemed like he had other things he wanted to do and didn't really seem very forthcoming on answering any questions or anything like that. And I've shot him an email here and there about it from time to time, but he just doesn't seem like he's interested in talking about it. And I've read a lot of his comments that he made during the day, and I get the impression that he was a little bit irritated, a little bit frustrated with the events that led to the Digital Group's demise. And the story as I have it, and it may not be correct, but as far as I have it, he was in the process of putting together a fairly large sale to IBM. And they were about to order a couple hundred of these units from him, but his creditors would not wait, and they wanted their money, and they wanted it now. And so they forced him into Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and when they went into Chapter 11, IBM pulled the contract, and that forced him out of business. So if that's the case, I can understand why he would be,
What year was that?
I believe it was 1980.
Wow, just before the IBM PC project had begun down at Boca Raton in that year.
I think it was it was in August of 1980. It might have been 81. I'm pretty sure it was 81.
Oh, and IBM was going to buy a lot of these units.
They were going to buy a couple hundred of them. I don't remember what it was for. I don't know if they planned on reselling them to their end users or if they planned on using them themselves. But they've had a lot of customers that had use for small computers, but they couldn't afford. And, you know, if you think about it, IBM was going to buy these. I wonder what they would have done with it and if that would have changed whether or not they had introduced their PC.
That's kind of an interesting
one. Dr. Suiting was the first person to have a Z80 computer working. He had one working off of demonstration chips from Zilog within several days after they delivered the prototypes.
Wow. So this really is the first Z80 system.
Yeah, he's pretty certain. He claims in one of his newsletters, he claims to have been the first person to have a Z80 system up and running. He notified Zilog that he had one up and running, and apparently they told him he was the first. So,
wow.
And his design didn't change much from the first introduction. They did have to, when they introduced dynamic memory, the Z80 used a hard reset to the front cover here. And if anyone pushed the reset button, what would happen is the Z80 processor would stop sending refresh signals to the dynamic RAM. so they would always lose data if you press the front reset button. So we did a small redesign so that when you press the front button, you were activating the non-maskable interrupt. And then the interrupt would do a restart function on the computer, and so the processor would never stop. And then that way they had reliable dynamic RAM. And then they also did a small redesign when they came out with the disk drive, the disk controller. And I don't recall what that actually changed, but it had something to do with the non-maskable interrupt. I believe they changed it for the dynamic RAM at the same time. If you hadn't done it for dynamic RAM prior to that, they did it with the disk drive. And then they changed a few other things on it, too. It wasn't an extensive mod, maybe three or four cut and paste.
It was mostly running BASIC and other languages, and how much graphics did the systems have?
Well, they introduced a couple of different graphics options. They had a 4096-byte memory card that did graphics. So you had... Or I think it was a 4096-bit graphics card. I think you may have the flyer here to tell you about it. But it was a pretty nice graphics card. This was their last Z80 card.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the Series 5 Z board. Let's see if I can pick out that card from this.
So did third-party people build cards for this?
Quite a few did. RW Sales built a lot of stuff, and Aeon, I'm not sure how they pronounce the name, they built some things for it.
But it was not an S100 system.
Nope, not an S100. They didn't have much in common with the S100s.
So a digital group compatible card is sort of an unusual thing to find.
It is, compared to a lot of other machines. I don't know how many other computers reached the 5,000 in sales or 4,000 in sales mark like Digital Group did, but I would say there were probably quite a few that surpassed them. But I don't know how many didn't make it to that level that would be more rare than the Digital Group. But not too many people collect these, so they aren't really very hard to come across compared to like an Altair system.
Right.
Because people really collect the Altair systems, so
right.
They're actually harder to find than Digital Group systems. The difference is it's harder to find the accessories for a Digital Group system.
Right, like the cases and things.
Yeah, it's very hard to find things like cases and... I've never seen this ad before. I'm not sure. But Digital Group was heavy into software. They marketed a lot of software for their systems.
And here come our spouses. So
yeah, well, that's the end of our party.
That's the end of our interview. Thank you very much. And I wish you the best in getting this restored and getting back to Arizona.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your contributions, and I'll be making them work. I'll do you proud.
Thank you very much. See you here in a couple of years, probably.
All right.